So I should start by saying, before I formally start, that I'm going to stick to the script. Normally, I like to make a lot of eye contact when I'm presenting, generally in a business situation. But I can get pretty passionate, and I can kind of get off track. I call it the Carlos syndrome. For those of you who know Carlos, I think we're cousins in that regard. The other thing is, I've been trying to lose my voice, it appears. I have been tested, both rapid test and PCR, and I do not have COVID. So let's just pray that my voice holds up. So here we go. The sermon today is titled, it's a longer title than it's probably behind me, Appropriating God's Power Through His Promises. And it's based upon 2 Corinthians 12:9. And we'll unpack that as we go along. So for those who don't know me, good morning and welcome to Brawlins Community Church. For those of you joining us online, and for any new visitors, my name is Rich Lewis. I'm a member here, and for the second time, Pastor Wallace has given me the privilege of delivering a message to this congregation. So I'm a guest speaker for those of you who are visiting. It usually starts with Pastor Wallace asking if I would be willing to speak on a particular Sunday, to which I enthusiastically say yes. However, later on, when I realize what I've signed up for, I find myself asking, what have I done? That's in all caps, bold red. It is a daunting responsibility, and it always makes me appreciate the blessing that Pastor Wallace is to our congregation. So, Pastor, if you're watching, thank you. When asked to speak, it is my habit, if doing something twice qualifies as a habit, to share what the Lord has been doing in my life. First, because it usually involves a spiritual truth, principle, or fruit, as in faith, God's faithfulness, learning to hear from God, etc., that the Lord has been teaching me by orchestrating a set of circumstances that transfers the spiritual truth or principle from my head to an actual experience in my life. I am actually walking with God and experiencing in the here and now the reality of what God tells us in His Word. And secondly, as Paul says in Romans 1:12, that you and I may be encouraged by each other's faith. And that's what we share together. The title of today's sermon, again, is Appropriating God's Power Through His Promises. As always, when God is working in our lives, it is very personal and also very difficult to translate the palpable response we have as we experience God to the ones with whom we are sharing the experience. I always feel a burden to share my experience with God in a way that translates in a very personal way the reality of that experience to the listener. I trust that the Holy Spirit will use my experience as He sees fit, based upon the Lord's very personal knowledge of each person that hears this message. Here we go. It has been my experience from time to time in my Christian walk to be surprised by the power of God. More specifically, I have been surprised by His willingness to exercise His power on my behalf. It is somewhat embarrassing to admit this truth because the Bible has hundreds of references to God's power, and many of them speak specifically to the intent and willingness of God to use His power on behalf of His children. Consider some of the verses in the Bible that speak to God's power. And I'm sorry I don't have overheads today. Exodus 15:6. Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It is not our strength, but God's strength working on our behalf. Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You only need be still. God is always working on our behalf. Sometimes He asks us to be still and be amazed. And that's usually very difficult for us, that is, to be still and wait on God. Isaiah 42:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Most of these verses are familiar to you, I'm sure. Ephesians 3:20 and 21, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Ephesians 1:19-21, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. God's immeasurable power is available to us through faith in Jesus. Matthew 28:18, just a couple more. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This power, again, is available to us. And finally, Luke 6:19, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. This power hasn't ceased. It's still available to us today. The question is, do we believe God's power is available to us today? And if so, how do we appropriate it? More on God's power later. Quite often as Christians, we will say, and in fact, believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God and that we believe everything that God says in his word. So, one might ask, how can we ever be surprised by anything that God says about himself and his word? Most mature Christians understand that once saved, the sanctification process begins and continues until the Lord calls us home. We are set apart and filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is all the work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is an ongoing process which will not be completed or reach perfection in this life. The implication here is that the Spirit is always teaching and calling us to grow in holiness and in our knowledge of God, his desire to have a relationship with us, and how he uses his word to communicate to us his ways in order to transform our lives. In other words, God is always teaching and drawing us into a deeper relationship with him. When I think of it this way, I don't feel as embarrassed when he reveals things to me, which, when revealed, make me feel like I've been sleepwalking through my Christian life. In fact, I have found that God will orchestrate our circumstances for the expressed purpose of showing just how much he loves us and how willing and available he is to help and protect us. Over the past few years, the Lord has used his promises to reveal his faithfulness to me and his willingness to use his power in my life as I surrender to him. This represents the continuing sanctification process that the Holy Spirit takes us through. Why then am I surprised when I see the power of God operating in my life in amazing ways? I think in part it's because the Lord must teach us how to appropriate his power so that we actually experience it in our lives in the here and now. As previously stated, most Christians believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, and so do I. We believe everything God says in his word and everything he says about himself. However, when faced with a crisis, whether large or small, we very often don't know how to appropriate his promises or his power and sufficiency, the very promises that tell us we are not alone when facing the enemy of our souls or simply the daily challenges of living in a fallen world. Many of us are students of the Bible and are very familiar with the many biblical principles taught in God's word and have committed many verses to memory to be used situationally as we encounter challenges in our lives. It is not unusual for me to have quoted a memory verse for years in situations where I believe the verse to be appropriate for the circumstance or issue about which I'm praying. I would find myself rotely reciting the verse without recognizing that, in many cases, the verse is meant to be a template for bringing a need to God's attention. One such verse for me is Philippians 4:6-7. And most of you know this as a memory verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, it occurred to me after years of quoting this verse when I was feeling anxious about something that God likely intended me to pray specifically about the issue that was causing the anxiety, ask him to remove the anxiety, thank him in faith for removing the anxiety, the circumstance that was causing the anxiety, or both, and wait expectantly for God's peace in the situation. At first glance, it might appear that we are simply dealing with semantics here. I'm not suggesting that God will not answer our prayer if we rotely recite the verse. I say that because Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me and know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." So God will likely still answer our prayers if it's a rote memory verse. I do believe, however, God wants us to pray with our intelligence and understanding. Rote can be defined as reciting something without a deep knowledge and understanding of what we are saying. So again, I believe God wants us to pray with intelligence and understanding. This is not for God's benefit, but rather for ours. The title of this message, again, is Appropriating God's Power Through His Promises. In order to pray with intelligence, knowledge, and understanding, it is helpful, if not imperative, that we understand what God is communicating to us with any particular passage. This certainly implies being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. The Bible has hundreds of promises that God directs towards His children. Some of these promises are conditional and others are unconditional. A conditional promise requires us to do something before God will respond with the promised blessing or outcome. An unconditional promise simply requires us to receive the promise. We don't have to ask God for something that He offers freely. Again, one might argue that this is simply an issue of semantics. However, as I hope to communicate below, what we understand a particular passage to mean, what is God communicating to us, has the ability to affect the hope and expectation that we have when we get up off our knees in prayer. It can possibly affect our faith and ability and willingness to trust God. My message will focus on one particular unconditional promise of God that is always available to all of His children and is a verse that He has used in my life over the last 5 or 6 months that has revolutionized my ability and willingness to submit to His ways that have brought this scripture to life for me. The passage is 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, where Paul asks God to remove the thorn in his flesh. "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then am I strong.'" As with the earlier example in Philippians, I would recite this verse rotely. Additionally, I had only applied this verse when I was being tempted to sin. I would ask God to make His strength perfect in the situation or circumstance that I was confronting in that moment. When God began to speak to me about this verse, He communicated several specific truths. First, this is an unconditional promise of God. This was revelational to me. It had never occurred to me that I didn't need to ask for a promise that was freely given. His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. We don't have to ask. We simply appropriate it by receiving it. "Lord, I receive Your perfect strength in the situation I'm about to face." Second, weakness is not limited to sin or temptation to sin. Weaknesses are all of our human inadequacies and frailties, as well as hardships, persecutions, difficulties, etc. Some examples, starting with fear, are as follows: fear of man, fear of failure, fear of Satan, fear of death, fear of disappointment, fear of loss, fear of abandonment, fear of being humiliated, feelings of inadequacy. Others are doubt, shame, self-loathing, insecurities, unworthiness. The list could go on, and there's no end to the maladies we humans suffer from or struggle with in this fallen world. God showed me that the promise in this verse is not limited to issues of sin. It covers any weakness or persecutions that we struggle with or suffer from. In fact, as I began to give, as if we are ever in control, as I began to give God an opportunity to show Himself faithful with respect to this verse, I noticed that the application was almost exclusively related to human frailty and suffering and not sin. He impressed upon me that I did not need to ask for his strength, but rather pray and simply say that I receive his strength in my weakness associated with a particular challenge at that moment. Further, he showed me that while I am a sinner, the majority of the applications for this verse related to my human inadequacies or personal attacks against me or persecutions. What I'm about to share with you is an excerpt from Ellicott's commentary for English readers on this particular verse. As I read this commentary, it's important for you to know that the above statement I just made, namely the majority of the applications for this verse related to my human inadequacies and frailties, was written a day before I read the commentary. Ellicott says, with respect to the verse we're dealing with, "From one point of view, however, it seems infinitely more in harmony with our thoughts of God that the prayer to be relieved from pain should be refused, because it was working out a higher perfection than was attainable without it, than that a deaf ear should have been turned to a prayer to be relieved from the temptation to impurity." It's sort of structured in a way that, you know, you might have to think about it a little bit. He's essentially saying our thoughts of God are consistent with him refusing an answer to a particular prayer because there's a higher perfection that will come from that, and we'll make that clearer later, than that he would turn a deaf ear to a request on our part to be relieved from the temptation to impurity or sin. He goes on to say, such a prayer seems to us to carry with it something like an assurance of its own prevailing power. Some of the better translations omit the possessive my, as in my grace is sufficient, and with that reading, the words take the form of a general axiom affirming that in the highest sense, might is perfected in weakness. That's the last of my technical commentaries. This, I hope to show, is the exact experience I've enjoyed with God in this regard. As I submitted to God in the various circumstances he presented, I saw a prevailing power, God's power, working on my behalf, demonstrating in the here and now that his might is perfected in weakness. It appears that my experience with God in the matter of receiving his strength in my weakness agrees with Ellicott's thoughts on the subject. 100% of my prayers thanking God for the receipt of his strength in my situation related to my human frailty or personal attack or disagreements, not sin. Ellicott clearly states that this outcome, of course, is better than that a deaf ear should have been turned to a prayer to be relieved from the temptation to impurity or sin. We would, in all cases, expect God to answer all earnest prayers for relief from the temptation to sin. It was asked by one commentator why God would not grant Paul's request for healing. He surmised that God wants us to surrender to him completely that we might more clearly see the more excellent way. As we submit every area of our lives to God, we more clearly see the power of God operating in our lives, which emboldens our faith and builds unshakable trust in the God who spoke the universe into being. As Pastor Wallace has taught, God will not force us to submit a situation or circumstance to him. However, it is that very submission that allow us to experience God's power and sufficiency in our lives. Again, Ellicott states, it seems infinitely more in harmony with our thoughts of God that the prayer to be relieved from pain should be refused because it was working out a higher perfection than was attainable without it. Once the Lord made me aware that this promise was unconditional and all I had to do was appropriate it to receive his power, I began praying to receive his power in my weakness in every situation that I recognized my human frailty rearing its ugly head. My workday presented numerous opportunities to apply God's truth from a practical application perspective in my daily life. More accurately, it appeared that God was orchestrating circumstances daily to show his faithfulness. There were numerous situations each day which allowed God to show his word to be true. As with the Bereans in Acts 17:11, God gave me many opportunities to examine the scriptures daily to see if Paul, in this case, of course, God, said was true. I'll share one example, but they were numerous, each touching on a personal weakness, frailty, or attack that God knew I would be susceptible to and aware of. It might have been a Zoom call where, based upon years of experience from a professional perspective, I could predict how the call should flow based upon the business or customer satisfaction issue we were dealing with. It is quite normal to prepare as best you can for these types of calls based upon the particulars involved, and for me, at times, it can bring up feelings of inadequacy, insecurities, fear, failure, etc., which would cause me to prepare excessively, wanting to anticipate and prepare for every possible eventuality. As I applied this verse prior to a call, I would simply pray, "Lord, I receive your perfect strength in my weakness, for your power is made perfect in my weakness. I trust that your Holy Spirit has already gone before me and will be in control of all that we say and do." And additional to this, I would pray James 1:19 and ask the Lord to help me to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to be angry, to become angry. And how many of you know sometimes we need to give God some room to operate in any given situation? It is impossible to describe every detail of a call of this nature, but on each occasion, given my 30 plus years of experience, none of these calls were ever typical or the outcomes of them after prayer, and the outcomes could never have been predicted. None of the expected acrimony, demands, relationship challenges ever occurred, nor was there a requirement to resort to the prepared responses that, from a preparation perspective for me and my team members, was a responsible thing to do, preparation that is, but none of these were ever necessary. These opportunities to see God's faithfulness and power in operation on my behalf occurred daily. In the interest of full disclosure, when I decided to apply the truth that God had revealed to me regarding this verse, I wasn't sure what to expect. I certainly believed the promise to be true, but when one embarks on a journey with God, you can't anticipate how the journey will unfold. However, after a few weeks, yes, I'm a bit slow, it occurred to me that God had been 100% faithful in answering this prayer. He answered it every time and did so in ways that couldn't be rationalized away. As Annette can attest, and probably Greg and Sophie also, when I share this experience with those close to me, I can't do it dispassionately. It's impossible. I am living the reality of God operating in my life in the here and now, and my faith and expectation regarding this particular promise of God and the reality of who God is has changed forever. This Bible that we read is God's inspired, inherent word. It is filled with wonderful promises of which we, his children, are the beneficiaries. He has given the word to us in order that we might know and have a living relationship with the living God. In Ephesians 10:6, he invites us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, operating on our behalf. The Bible is intended to direct us to the living God. 1 Corinthians 4:20 tells us that the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. In this verse, 2 Corinthians, God speaks of his power being made perfect in our weakness. The Greek word, and I'm sure we've all heard this many times, certainly from Pastor Wallace, the Greek word for power used in the New Testament is dunamis or dyname. It means explosive power or capable of bringing miraculous results. It is our word, dynamite. The Old Testament Hebrew word for power is, I'm sure I'm going to kill the pronunciation, gibura. It means force and implies victory. Why would we ever be afraid to surrender to God and watch him operate on our behalf? Appropriating and receiving God's promises leads to his power being made perfect in our weakness. Perhaps the greatest blessing among many that has resulted from this revelation of God to me is that I finally understand, and Carlos and I talked about it earlier, I finally understand and appreciate Paul's statement when he says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses." Who does that? "So that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." What I realized when time and time again, the Lord was faithful to his promise. I'm actually choking up. Sorry. The Lord was faithful to his promise. Not only was I now in the habit of surrendering these situations to the Lord, I recognized and again was quite surprised that I actually looked forward to those situations because I was excited to see what God was going to do. More accurately stated, when those situations presented themselves, I found myself excited instead of anxious. It's not something you can manufacture emotionally. You either feel excited or you don't. At that moment, I was identifying with Paul's sentiment. I actually felt excited or delighted, as Paul has said, to surrender to God in my weakness and watch the power of God operate on my behalf. It has truly been an amazing journey. God wants us to experience the truth of his word, to experience the reality of who God is and his ability to transform our lives. He wants us to experience the reality of his power on our behalf in the here and now. He wants us to live it daily. All of his promises are yes and amen. Consider the following verses, some of which are my favorite. This top one is absolutely my favorite. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? There is an implied no in this verse. Our God is trustworthy. He will keep his promises to us. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Titus 1:2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Hebrews 6:13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. Hebrews 6:18. Thus, by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope hope set before us may be strongly encouraged. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. Our God does not lie. All his promises are yes and amen. Many of his promises are unconditional, and we simply need to tell him that we freely receive the promise and watch to see what he does. In the case of 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, it has been my experience that it is not a matter of praying for a particular outcome. It is surrendering or yielding the entire situation to God and watching and being amazed. Try as I might, it is impossible for me to convey to you the euphoric feelings I had as I watched and experienced God working on my behalf in the here and now. I literally wanted to shout it to the mountaintops. We all have had times when God has revealed something new to us as we continue our sanctification journey with him. So I'm sure you understand what I'm trying to say. In this particular situation, in my mind at least, God has shown me that appropriating his promises gives us access to his power, and when we submit a situation, problem, or frailty to him, whatever the outcome, in Ellicott's words, it will work out a higher perfection than was attainable without it. He will do what only God can do, and we will watch and be amazed. Thank you. And I could wax extemporaneously on the reality of, and I'm sure many of you have experienced it, the idea that we bristle at submitting to anyone, and even God. Even when we say that we want to, we find that as soon as we start the discussion, and Ned and I've had these experiences, as soon as we talk about submitting to God, you know, we bristle, right? And as we see, we should never be afraid to surrender because we actually see his power. He is willing and able and desirous to operate on our behalf. And so this is just one scripture and one promise, you know. And I also understand from a personal perspective that we can take this walk with God, specific to this particular verse, and be amazed, and 5 months later, we're in situations and we realize it's been weeks before we applied that truth. There are many, many, many more verses in the Bible where God has unconditional promises. And I guess what I would leave you with is to surrender to God in any and every situation will bring about outcomes that we will literally be amazed by. And so I'll stop with that, and I thank you for your time, and we're going to pray some more. So I don't know if Greg and Katie are coming back.